Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. Lovely to have you here worshipping with us this morning. Tomorrow evening we gather together to pray. We spend an hour doing it. We're doing it all kinds of different ways, and we'd love to have you with us for 1 hour tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. Now, during the Sundays throughout August, the children's work for Chatterbox and Under will be taking place out the back there, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. And as the other Sundays come along, we'll find out what they've been up to as each Sunday comes along. I can't promise you won't hear them. Then again, I can't promise they won't hear us either, so we'll just live together with that. And there's all sorts of wonderful things will be going on out there. For those who are above Chatterbox age, well, we're trying a little experiment. We've got a worksheet. It even includes things you have to listen out for in the sermon, so I'm thinking about giving them to all of you. But, you know, if you want one, whatever age you are, then just find someone who can give you one. Who's got the pile of these at the moment? Can anybody tell? Oh, Sean has them. So, you know, if you actually want one, whatever age you are, then just tell her at some point and you can get hold of one. We're thinking today about the light of the world, Jesus as the light of the world, a phrase you all know, but what difference does it actually make? Friends, let's stand up together as we come to worship God, and I'm going to read to you some ancient words from Psalm 139. Listen to this description of the one that we worship. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Together, wonderful to my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to run.
Father, nothing, absolutely nothing compares to you. Fill this place. Fill the hearts of these people with your light, we pray. Banish the darkness of sin and regret from our lives. Bring your hope flooding in a way that is obvious to all of us, we ask. Please, dear Jesus, would you just make your presence known here today, we ask. Amen. Do you please sit down? I'm going to ask Steve to do it multitasking. Could you shut the lights off for me for a minute, do you think, please? You see, children, why don't you have to look on the screen with me? Because I've got a bit of a funny story here, and I don't know if you'll be able to see what is on the screen, because quite often people can't. Now, this comes from back in the days when people had film in their cameras, you know, and you got to number 11 of 12, and you thought, well, I'll just finish it up, or number 34 of a 36 roll. You thought, oh, well, I'll just bash a couple off and see. Now, this person was cycling home from work in South Korea, and he took a picture of a muddy field. And when he got it back from the developers, that's what he saw. Now, what can you see, anybody? Sorry? Someone said they can see Jesus. Can you see a face on there? Somebody who can tell a face, see the face. Right, so where are we looking then? No, I see if I can. Can you see the nose? One eye in shadow and another. Can you see it now? Some of you are going. Let's try again. So if you follow the line of the nose down here, look, and there's a shadow on his cheek and there's the one eye in shadow. Can you see it now? You see, actually, when we talk to people about Jesus, that's all we're doing. We're helping them to see him where they haven't seen him before. If you'd been a bit braver, I would have asked you to come out and point it, but I thought it'd be nice to you this morning. So sometimes, you see, we can see Jesus and other people can't. And what he asks us to do is to point him out. So look, there he is, and you never noticed him. Now, I'm going to try another one, but you need to be really disciplined with this one. Now, what I want you to do, can you see those four dots there? Look at that, focus on those and don't look at anything else. So don't move your head, just focus on those dots for a few seconds. Don't look away. Now, when I press this, see what happens. Oh, you saw it, didn't you, Samuel? What did you see?
It disappeared.
But what did you see before it disappeared? Did you see a face? Did anybody else see a face? Oh, let's try again, shall we? So, focus on the four dots. Don't look at anything else at all. Forget everything that's around the screen. Just focus on the dots. Look really, really hard at those. And in a minute, when I press this button, see if something appears very briefly on the screen to you. Don't look away. You were looking hard? Did you get it just a flash? Yes. It's all about seeing Jesus where we haven't seen him before. And particularly children, you've got a few weeks to see your friends at school again. For some of them who've no idea what Jesus is about, will you start praying for them now? Will you start praying for them that the time comes where they can see Jesus where they've never seen him before? We're going to sing together. Let me see what the song is. Jesus is the name we honour. Stand up and sing this together like we mean it.
Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Majestic name above all other names. The highest heaven and earth proclaim that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him.
Please sit down. So, if you've got children aged chatterbox or under, if you'd like to make your way out through the doors at the back there, in the first instance at least, you'll need to accompany them. And we'll get things settled out there. So, chatterbox and under, out that way. Those who are staying in, if you haven't got a green worksheet, wave at Sean and she'll bring you one. The pens can be issued too. We can do it all here. Brilliant. And I say, look, if we'd hear a bit of noise, then thank God for the children. Thank God we've got some people to make some noise. Aren't we blessed? We really are. Paul, do you want to come and lead us in prayer, please? Thank you.
We're thinking about the situation beyond our shores, thinking particularly about the international situation as we focus our prayers of request. The UNHCR says that there are 185 million people in our world today who lack basic food security. 80% of those are due to war and human conflict. There are 65 million people displaced. One person displaced every 3 seconds, according to the United Nations, forced to move by war and conflict, by persecution and fear and greed. Father, as we turn our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers to you, these numbers are just massive. We don't know how and where to begin with prayer for the global situation. We hear the headlines about Korea, and we hear the headlines about Venezuela, and we hear the headlines about the Middle East, and we hear the headlines about starvation in Africa and conflict in South America. And Father, we just cry out to you. Show us what it is you want us to do. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit, not just in prayer, but in action. Father, lead us into your work. Show us how we can bring succor, peace, calm in a world that seems to tear itself apart with conflict. We think particularly, Lord, of our BMS missionaries, the Mahans, as they prepare to go to South America to do your work in a jungle situation, in a place where there is limited communications, and yet there is greed. There is demand for land. There is demand for minerals, for energy, for water, and conflict over the basic human needs. Father, we hold them up as a family, particularly with the young children, as they prepare themselves to make that journey to somewhere which is so culturally different to everything that they know of. Father, we pray that you will strengthen them, strengthen their love for you, but also strengthen them as they seek to support the children, particularly as they move them to grow up in such a completely different environment. Father, we pray that you would be to them everything that they need. Show us how we can help them with money, with thoughts, with ongoing prayer, with communications, with support. Father, that they would know that there are those of us back home loving, praying, and caring. And Father, as we reach out and touch them, help us to be a conduit of your love. Within our local situation and in the international situation, Father, globally, we pray that this church will be a beacon of hope and peace, a place where understanding and concern and care is translated into action and delivery. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Paul. In a sense, we continue the prayer as we stand and sing together. Men of faith, rise up and sing.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak in your rise up, women.
Paul, I wonder if we could see the words of this next song on the screen. This earth belongs to God. Underlying, every time we pray, that is the bedrock on which we pray. That we believe God holds the earth in his hands. Now, I would love to sing this with a team of buglers or trumpeters. We don't have them this morning because it's written to the tune of the trumpet voluntary. But David knows it well, and we're going to sing it together. Let's sing together. Do please sit down. Now, I know it's only August, but to give you a bit of advance warning, next Easter, I hope to introduce you to a Tenebrae service. Tenebrae is originally a Roman Catholic tradition where the church gradually grows darker during the course of the service. And I'll tell you more about that next Easter. But part of that is the collection of readings you're about to hear. It picks out from the scriptures all those moments where light is introduced into the world. And as we think this morning about Jesus, the light of the world, that takes us into that rather nicely. So, Barbara, thank you. Let's listen to the readings now.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it." Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. Picture the scene, if you will. I don't have to, because I was there. You've just arrived on holiday in a tiny cottage in a remote valley in Wales, and it's taken you a long time to drive there, so by the time you get there, it's dark, and you start unpacking when disaster strikes. There is no milk for a cup of tea. It's pitch black outside, clouds are covering the moon. The person in the cottage next door says there's a path through the woods that way to the village shop. It'll still be open. So you leave and you say to the person in the cottage, "Leave the light on for me." And you set off down the rough path through the woods with only your rather elderly mobile to provide some light along the way. Eventually you get there and you start coming back with the milk tucked under your arm. By this stage, the clouds are even thicker, the woods seem even darker, and you pick your way through the woods, stumbling over a tree root here and there, and at last you come to the edge of the woods, and down there is the valley, and somewhere in that valley is the cottage. What's the one thing you want them to have done? Left the light on. You just want somebody to have left the light on and not to have forgotten about you. You know, when we read that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he's saying that God has left the light on. He's saying that God has not forgotten us. Way back when the world was new, when Project Humankind went wrong, the Garden of Eden was closed down like a fun park with padlocked gates, and no one was to go in there anymore. And the first humans were driven out to fend for themselves in the world. Legend has it, Jewish legend, that at that moment, all the light in the world was sucked out. For those of you who don't mind me mentioning Dumbledore, think Deluminator. And all of a sudden, all the light is sucked out of the world and there's none left anymore. And prophets like Isaiah were saying, look, one day it's going to come back. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." People like Malachi would look around at them and see the terrible, terrible state that the world was in and would say, look, one day the light will dawn again. This is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. "For you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." John the Baptist hinted that the light was nearly there. A certain littlest star on a certain night seemed to say that the light was nearly there. But the child was born on that night and all but disappeared from view, seen only now and then until he grew up. And then that grown-up child, Jesus, goes to Jerusalem. And on the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles, when the whole city is teeming with people and crowds are milling around about, on the edge of the temple, four huge golden bowls are set up on pedestals, and four ladders are put up to each of those bowls. And at a given moment, four young men each climb the four ladders, and between them they tip 480 litres of oil into every single bowl. And then a wick made, believe it or not, from the discarded trousers of the priests is woven together, and they put those in. And at a given moment, on the top of the four ladders, those four wicks are lit, each of them sucking up 480 litres of oil. Can you imagine how bright it was? You know, it would have been like standing up at Donington Castle and being able to look down and see the whole of Newbury lit up. And with these huge fires above their heads, Jesus, the anonymous one, Jesus who has passed throughout his childhood through the crowds unnoticed, with those huge flames reflected on the faces of everybody standing underneath them, he stands up and he says, "I am the light of the world." In other words, God's left the light on. And you're not forgotten. And God has not forgotten his promises of old. Despite the long trek and the dark wood, despite the stumbling and falling and rising only to stumble again, despite the teasing shadows which seem like promises which are not, despite the hope sometimes no stronger than a sputtering candle, God has left the light on. And he has not forgotten one breath of all the promises. When Jesus spoke to all the people, he said, "I am the light of the world." It tells us that God has not forgotten. It tells us that things are clearer now too. Everything we see, literally everything you're seeing right now, or the little visual trick that we used earlier on the screen, it all depends on the interplay of light and dark. How do you know that something is three-dimensional? How do you know that if you were to be able to touch it, you'd be able to pick it up? It's because it has a shadow. That's how you know that an object is not two-dimensional, but three-dimensional. You know, how do we pick out this green against that blue, or this grey against that red? How do we tell that the hills in the distance are actually in the distance a long way away? Because of aerial perspective, where colours fade as things get further from us and a blue tinge creeps into them as they creep further away from us. The presence of light brings clarity. The presence of light actually enables us to interpret the physical world around about us. And it was the great painters who picked up on this. Caravaggio is probably the best exponent of it. Chiaroscuro, light and dark. He was the finest exponent of this, of putting really strong dark tones and really strong patches of light next to each other so that the picture appeared to leap off the canvas. And he was the first exponent of it. Others followed in his footsteps. This is from a Dutch painter, Honthorst. This is Jesus before his accusers. And can you see he's doing exactly the same thing? He's using very strong light tones and very strong dark tones so that the picture leaps off the two dimensions of the canvas towards us, so that we actually see something that grabs heart and mind and seems clear to us. When Jesus arrives a spade and calling sin, sin, and calling out those who've grown fat on a religious status but are thin on spirituality, when he arrives, it's chiaroscuro, light and dark, juxtaposed together so that all of a sudden things seem clear that weren't clear before. And through the presence of Jesus in our lives, a certain kind of reality leaps out. And if we couldn't see it before we came to him, well, we can see it now. And when we not only start to see those things, but we come and we bow the knee to him as Lord and we say, "I place my hands in your life and I will follow you," when that moment comes along, then even more so does light begin to bring clarity with it. And the presence of Jesus in our lives means that we see things for what they really are. And sin is not the freedom to do whatever you like. Sin is the enslavement to the worst version of me. the worst version of us that we can possibly have. And status in the eyes of the world is not wings with which we can soar, but its weight to prevent us from soaring. And prayer is not a prop for the weak, but a lifeline for those who want to be strong. Listen to the second half of the verse. Jesus stands there, huge flames above him, all the faces bathed in the colour of the flames. He says, I am the light of the world. And then he goes on to say, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. Let's be careful with that. If that means that there are never dark moments in our lives, then I'll have to stop being a Christian now, because I'm living through one. But I don't believe that's the case. What he's saying is that if we walk in darkness, we never walk unaccompanied again. And if we walk in darkness, we lose sight neither of God nor of his goodness, no matter what is going on around about us. At this moment for which everybody had waited, the Christ child, now grown up, stands before everyone and says, I am the light of the world. God's left the light on. I am the light of the world. God has not forgotten. And you can see clearly now. I can see clearly now, the rain has gone. You can see all the obstacles in my way. See, God has not forgotten. And we can see clearly. But the other thing that's implied by him saying that is that there is the real, genuine possibility of transformation. In the year 1865, not so very far down the A4 from here, Laycock Abbey, William Henry Fox Talbot started playing with light, seeing what he could do with it. He started off placing objects, leaves and coins on treated paper and created what he called photogenic drawings, where a shadow was left. Then he progressed to these that he called mousetrap cameras, which were half an old cigar box with a very crude lens put on the front. And when he did that, the light did what only light can do, and it drew on the treated glass that he'd put inside the cameras. And at that very moment, the art of photography was born. And from those experiments in 1865, you can draw a line right the way up to the Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist right now. And that person realized there was something more you could do with lights. And then it could transform something ordinary, be it a piece of plate glass or a piece of treated paper, into an image that people could recognize. You see, light is transformative. Every scientist will tell you that. From Fox Talbot's photos through to photosynthesis, where the tiniest plant or the most enormous giant redwood grow and depend upon it, through to vitamin D production, where the body is stimulated by sunlight and it actually enables us to function. When Jesus says, I am the light, he holds out to the people who are listening the realistic prospect of true transformation. To everyone who hears those words and takes them to heart, to everyone who hears those words and says, well, I'm glad God's not forgotten me, and I can see things clearly now, to everyone who will take those to heart, there in that phrase is the promise that transformation is possible for everyone who walk with him. You know, and a seriously bad lad like Paul, someone who had the blood of Christian men and women on his hands, could be transformed and could go on to walk about the upward call of God in Christ. He could understand what a transformation from glory to glory would be like. Imagine that. And so Jesus turns our bad into his good. Jesus turns our mediocre into his spectacular. Jesus transforms our despair into his hope. He transforms our blotted copybook into his clean slate. Jesus takes our also-ran and turns it into his selected for the team. Jesus takes our earthbound horizon and transforms it into his limitless possibilities. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's declaring his business open for transformation. From this second, what you see is not what you get. From this second, all you are is not all that you can be. It's just the beginning. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and I am into the business of transformation. You know, when I first came to Newbury, I found myself very tickled by this on Andover Road. Seems to me that we're not in desperate need of a lighthouse on that particular road. And then I read the story, I read it just this week actually, 2015, the tree was falling apart, it was dangerous, it was going to have to be pulled down. And an artist called Nick Spearman, who does these huge wooden sculptures, was called in and did it in situ and transformed it into a lighthouse. I love that. I just want to see it lit up now, that would be the only thing. You know, the business of transformation, where that which is broken becomes whole, where that is which is rubbish becomes precious, where that which is a has-been becomes a possibility. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, look, God has left the light on. He's saying, you can see clearly now where you couldn't before. And he's saying, look, I hold out to you the realistic prospect of you being transformed. Now, you probably heard there was a little burst of sound there where the door came open at the back. Let me give you a warning. Next week, the children are going to tell you all about what they were doing this week. Next week, they'll have all these wonderful crafts. I've seen the leopard print lanterns, but you'll come back to that next week. They'll have all these wonderful crafts all about the transformative power of Jesus as the light of the world. They'll want to show them to us. But what can you show to them? You know, if those children look at you, whether you're their parents or you're just grown-ups in the church, if they look at you, can they see by the way that you behave that you know God has not forgotten you? Can they see by the way that you act that you have a clarity you didn't have before and that you understand things the way they truly are? Can they see that you are being transformed? I hope they can. I hope they can see that I am the light of the world is not just a phrase we can quote, but it's a phrase we can live. As I close, we've had two house guests for the past week, because clearly life wasn't busy enough. And we inherited our neighbour's two baby tortoises. There they are, Betty and Bernie. What I had not known until this point was that tortoises are solar powered. Did you know that? You see, if there's no sunlight on them, well, they do what tortoises do, which is just about nothing. If you move them into the sunlight, all of a sudden it's like someone's turned the battery on. You know, and they're moving, well, I say thundering around, okay, it's limited, but they're moving around and they're animated, and then the sun moves on a bit and the shadow falls and they stop again. Or you move them back again and so they goes on. Suddenly they're brought to life by the light as it falls on them. Whilst I hesitate to draw a comparison between your good selves and those two tortoises, tempting though it might be, does the light bring you to life? Does it transform you? Because you know it really, really should. Friends, let's sing together, My Lighthouse. Thank you, Andy.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. You won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead us through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse,
Thank you. Friends, let's close with grace for another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.